Hey, y'all, I am so excited to talk about mock-ups today because they're just two of my favorite things put together. And that is, of course, photography, because it is totally my vibe, and combining that with print on demand, because print on demand is so freaking fun and you know I love it. And it's just going to be such a great episode to chat about the different ways that mock-ups can really enhance your brand, your shop, your website, your social media, everything, like spotting the right kind of mock-ups for you. I will not be doing, like, as always with this podcast, this isn't tutorial driven. It's more just talking about the vibe and talking about how I approach mock-ups and how I would suggest approaching mock-ups from a print on demand plus mock-up perspective. But I will be adding a Dropbox links of how I do my mock-ups in Canva, because that's usually the easiest way for most people to do them. So that's how I do them. I just do Canva mock-ups, and that's how I do it. I like to keep, I said this way back in the beginning, but I like to keep my softwares pretty different from photography to print on demand. I do Canva for like almost all of my print on demand stuff, and I don't like do a lot of Photoshop because I use that for work and I don't really want to use it for the other part of my work. I like to keep them different. So yes, they're both work, as I talked about way back in the beginning of this podcast, but they're like different sections, and it makes it really fun and like almost a mental break to be able to do different things. So I am Canva all the way for my mock-ups, and that's all. Have a link down in the description where you can watch a video if you have questions about that. And it's not going to be a cool video. It's just literally going to be like a 2-minute video of how I do mock-ups of my screen. All right. So my name is Lisa Chandler. Welcome to the podcast. Today we are talking all about mock-ups. All right, total disclaimer. I love mock-ups. They are a total blast to shoot, and it's so fun to see how different items can appear in different setups. I shoot all kinds of different setups, from outside in nature to photographs taken in my studio when it's pitch black outside, illuminated with lights and all the lights turned off in the office. I shoot during the morning where there's crazy speckled light everywhere. I shoot tons of fun and creative backdrops. I love it. Sometimes I even shoot at night with flash for my mock-ups. It's really fun. They're just such a blast, and shooting mock-ups is also a total challenge for me. The posing is just totally different than posing I tend towards in my normal work, but I'm just so happy I stumbled on this genre. Like, I just feel so lucky I stumbled onto it. So as a photographer, I understand photographs. As a print-on-demand shop owner, I understand what print-on-demand sellers need for their mock-ups. So combined, it's just a total hybrid of two things I love and really bridges that gap between my main creative passion, photography, and something I love to do is like little creative projects, as we've talked about. Love my print-on-demand creative projects. They are awesome and they're just so fun. So my print-on-demand shop is a very fast, almost cozy work for me. It's still work, as we've talked about. It's still work. I approach it like work, but it's almost like a relaxed, cozy. I can like cuddle up with like a cup of coffee and like my blankets and like have an idea and have it up within an hour. Like, that's so cozy and fast and just fun for me. My mock-ups are not like that. Like, they are often meticulously planned. Of course, some of them I kind of shoot on the fly, especially folded ones, but usually they are planned. Like, they are so meticulously planned. I have to do planning for them. I'm constantly ordering new items to photograph. So that would be the products and also styling. I used to think I had so much stuff in my office, which I did, but now, oh my gosh, it's like I've had to get multiple storage items and like storage ottomans just to hold different props and t-shirts, and like had to move a bunch of my dress rentals over to my mom's house. They moved here a couple years ago. And when I started shooting mock-ups, I've had to just like slowly bring more and more dresses, like my dress rentals, to her house to be able to fit all of the t-shirts. It works though, because my 13-year-old is obsessed with all the hoodies and he's always taking them. So, you know, they're not always bursting, just most of the time. But I'm constantly adding new things. I get lots of great requests from customers wanting different kinds of products, and I'm always trying to add more for them. My biggest downfall as a mock-up shop owner is that I will get a request to do something and I'll order it, and then I won't have it listed for like 3 weeks because I'm just slow. But I do get it done eventually. So I'm constantly working on mockups, constantly brainstorming. I do at least one mockup shoot a week, and I usually, as I mentioned, build sets in my office for them. So y'all don't even want to know how long my editing list right now, and you don't even want to know how much some of these setups cost, because they can get pricey. But the most important thing about mockups is this. They can help you sell an item, but they can also help you build a brand. Professional photography, as I was just saying, is expensive. Like just for me to shoot, it is expensive to build those sets. So if I were to style, shoot, and edit product photographs for a brand, I would easily charge way more than I would charge for a wedding. And I'm not a budget wedding photographer or budget photographer, period. So with mockups though, I can do the same things. Style, shoot, and edit, and then sell those images for $585. That's what I say sell them for. I sell my individual ones for $585 if there is a model, $385 if there's no model, or if it's like a model's hand for like a cup. And then I can sell them over and over. Mock-up and stock photographers make their investments up front to be able to sell the images later. As a photographer, this can feel like a risk. As a print-on-demand shop owner, this is amazing. You can create so many different vibes with different mock-up photographs. So if you're a photographer listening to this about mock-up photographs, my first thing, my suggestion is this. I suggest print-on-demand to literally everyone. Mock-up photographs, I do not suggest to literally everyone, because there is a lot that goes into it, and it can be very difficult to learn them. Now, if you're someone who's not a photographer and you're like doing them on your phone, I think there's a little bit more nuance there. But if you are like someone who is used to shooting and like actively shooting with clients, it is very different to shoot mock-up photographs. And so know if you're going to branch into mock-up photographs, I am not discouraging that. I am saying you definitely want to research it more, and you want to have more shirt items and more styling than you think, and be very aware of how you are posing your models. And so it's like you're learning, it's like the difference between like newborn photography and senior photography, only there's more of a difference between senior photography and mock-up photography than there is between newborns and seniors, which sounds wild, but like it just is. Just trust me. Okay, so for print-on-demand shop owners, ask yourself, what kind of product images are you drawn to? Subdued, minimalist images, flashy images, images with a lot going on. There's a lot of information that simple sells. And while simple does sell, personality sells too. Personally, I think we're seeing more of an uptick in more and more personality in images because we've been in minimalism for so long. I could be wrong, but you see that in like home design, like it's becoming more maximalist. And I think we're going to see that more and more reflected in a lot of our stuff. So which is your vibe? Do you like bright colors? How do you want your customer to feel when they see your mock-up images? What kind of mock-up best reflects your design, or even that specific design, not even just your style, that design? All these things will contribute to the style of mock you want. The possibilities are really endless. So before I get even farther into this, is that I do maximalist type mockups. Of course, there's some minimal ones, but mostly they're maximalist style. My designs are the same. Most of my designs are very maximalist, but I do have some minimal designs as well. Very few, and usually they take up most of the shirt, like they're very bold. And sometimes my mockups work great for that. Other times they don't. I also tried to have a big mix of my own mockups and other shop mockups because I want to support other mockup sellers, and also because I think that sometimes it's just a lot going on if I do my own mockups on my own photographs. If I put my print on demand designs that are really, really extra, sometimes it works beautifully and it's so fun. But other times I'm like, let's get some other variety in here. So with that, I'll say the first thing to think about with mockups is don't overthink your mockups. And guys, I'm going to take a note right here. I'm so sorry if I kind of go back and forth with like photography and print on demand on this. I have a podcast called Your Photographer Mom where I talk about photography all the time. And photography is like, I've been teaching photography for 10 years, for a literal decade. Oh my gosh, I'm old. And so I'm sorry if I kind of slip back into like the photography teaching mode at all on these, because I'm used to talking about shooting and doing that. And yeah, I've been loving this limited series so much, but hopefully I don't get too photographer on y'all. Anyways, so don't overthink your mockups. My general rule of thumb with mockups is this. If I am scrolling through mockups and I need to get like a white t-shirt, I am going to pull up like three of ones that just catch my eye immediately. I'm going to look at those three and then I'm going to buy one or two of them. There's not going to be a lot of thought in it. Mockups are not expensive, so usually just grab a couple of them and then that's fine if you're looking for a specific color. That's how I usually buy my mockups is I'm like, oh, I'm tired of this one. I'm going to get another. Or I need more variety in what I have right now. And it's finally happened. My three-year-old has crashed the party. Or no, she's four. Okay, sure enough. Okay, so I've made it through like 30 podcast episodes without any of my kids totally crashing the door. But it finally happened. Okay, so yes, like there's so much like with photographs that can really just add so much personality. And so I like to search when I'm like have a design in mind for that specific thing. And sometimes I just want to use other images that aren't mine because I've been looking at my images so much. And it's just fun to have that variety and see how my stuff looks on other people's photographs. So I love that. Like, don't overthink your mockups. Just do what feels right with your design. Because like the more mockups you get, the more you're going to have kind of a vibe. And there's lots of ways you can build that, and it's going to come through in your designs and your choice of mockups. So remember that, as we just talked about, simple sells, but trends do too. So this means like if you do a lot of like cowgirl type photographs or designs, see, that's what I mean. I'm going to slip back and forth. If you do a lot of cowgirl type designs, then it makes sense that you'll want like a mockup with a cowgirl hat, but it doesn't have to be a cowgirl hat on the mockup. You could have other styling as well, but know that like trends can definitely impact that, and really like you can find mockups that like are cohesive with your brand. So instead of looking up like white shirt mockup, look up like cottagecore shirt mockup, look up cowgirl mockup, look up mockup taken in the dark, look up spooky mockup, like look. Don't be afraid to use those terms. I think that for a while, at least when I started Proud Demand, there weren't a ton of mockup shops, and now there's a ton. So like what you want to do with that is be really specific in your keywords, because then people who are serious about their mockups are going to put descriptive words in their mockups, and they're going to have things to look for so people can find them. And as the mockup field gets more and more saturated, which we definitely seen the past couple months, especially with AI, the higher that gets going, the more descriptive those terms will be to help you find the vibe you want. So if you want a mockup on a beach mockup, or beach aesthetic, things like that, that will kind of have the right colors and the right vibes for those designs. What's so great about like creating a cohesive vibe too is like you can have like different things going on, like beach aesthetic, like cowgirl mockup, and like what you can do when you're setting up your shop. I remember like a long time ago when I was reading about photography portfolios, because photographers have portfolios, there was something said that just like really took root in my brain, and it's been such a game changer for me in like every single way that I present like any photograph like ever. And that is like when you're building a portfolio, what you want to do is the photos do not have to look exactly alike. Obviously you don't want them to look exactly alike, but what you do is you have, and I do this in my design work as well, is that you do some kind of thread that works with them. So if you're wanting to make, like, I don't really think that you need to like curate your Etsy shop. People can organize it different ways, but I do like to have a good front landing page. And so one thing you can do when you're doing that, or if you're posting to your Instagram or you're building your website, what you want to do is you want to have mockups that can move into each other. So maybe it's that like one mockup is really flashy, like maybe it's an off-camera one with lots of tinsel, and like what you do with that is like it's sparkly and it's pink, and then the one next to it might be a minimal kind of mockup, but it has pink flowers in it. And then those would be tied together. Like that kind of thing can really tie together your social media. So then the one after that, say there's a green couch in it, and then the pink flowers had green stems. So that hot pink one is now tied to the green. You have to think overall picture, because they're tied together from the bouquet and the one in the middle where it has pink flowers on green stems. Those kind of things really will create a cohesive vibe. And they don't even really have to be edited the same, especially because your design work is going to pull everything together as well. So mockups can really be used that way. And I know that's a bit of a a brain turner if it's something you've never really thought about before, because if you aren't a photographer, you haven't had to think about that. But personally, that's something that has helped my work seem so cohesive, even when it's not. And it's just really, really helpful and a great way to like bring that whole portfolio or storefront together. So I use my mockups a little bit different. As y'all know, I sell on Etsy, and you guys are going to be a little surprised when I tell you this, but I actually use mostly mockups from Printify. So what I do, because I think this is because I work with mockups so much, and I have been building up both of my shops in 2023, which is a lot of work, and I do not have time to make all of the mockups for my print-on-demand stuff, especially because, again, my print-on-demand is like that cozy, like homey kind of work for me. So I only do a mock-up photo for the first product photo. Sometimes I have a couple of listings where there's really nice mock-ups for everything, but in general, I only do a nice one for that attention grabber and kind of think of the others as like color swatches. That's how I do it. That's not how everyone does it, but don't be surprised if you go check out my website, or not my website. My website, I actually just use the stock ones from Printify, because I have mockups for sale on the website too, and I thought that would be confusing. So it's just, you know, straight up the shirts because it's on the website. But on my Etsy shop, I use a really fun front image, and then the rest, really, I just think of them as color swatches. It's been seen on that photo, on that first one, and then it's just easy for them to select, again, a color swatch. Like, you know, that's what works well for me, is how I've been able to build my shop out fast, because I don't have the patience. I'm just going to be totally frank. I don't have the patience to make 10 mockups if I have 10. I don't do 10 colors. The most I do is 8, which is a lot. But I don't have the time to make 4 mockups for every single listing that I do. It's not something I'm interested in doing, because I'm doing it for fun and like a creative project. And again, I think of them as color swatches. I've seen that kind of stuff on enough websites to be like, that's fine with me. Those are color swatches, and the first photo is that attention grabber. Now, that is not how I recommend everyone should do it, and I think I have a lower conversion rate. I usually have like a 1.4 to 1.9 conversion rate on my print-on-demand shop. One of that is because my stuff is kind of weird, and I think the other reason is because I do use a lot of stock, just straight, plain, non-lifestyle mockups, which are great. Like, I think it's fantastic that we are able to use those and are provided those from, I use Printify, who I adore, and I'm so grateful that they generate those for us. And some mockups, like candles, I just use those candles straight up and use that when I sell candles. I just do the one provided by the print provider, because it's easier than trying to make it all look right for me. And that's how I use it. So don't think that there's one specific way, because I have shot thousands of mock-up photographs, and I've sold thousands and thousands. By the time this podcast airs, I should have sold well over 10,000 mock-ups on my mock-up shop. And I think it's fantastic if you want to take that extra step to make one for every single shirt color. I think that is probably the best thing to do. It's just not how I personally do it. And so with that in mind, it's okay to use different mockups for different things. That means a couple of things. Sometimes the stock one is your best option. So for example, I sell wall pennants, and I don't do a ton of wall pennants or a ton of like blankets. Blankets are new for me. And so what I do is I just zoom into that blanket. I have a couple where I've used like Placeit, but I don't really want to have to do a whole bunch of finagling to make it look right. And I want it to be the actual product. So for me, I just zoom into that first blanket photo, because people know what a blanket is. So that's my thought on it. Of course, it would be more aesthetic if I used a mockup, but don't be afraid to switch between really fun mockups and also sometimes having to use distributor mockups. You can make it look cohesive. If you want an example, again, go look at my Etsy shop. It is called Opal and June Shop. My mockup shop is Opal and June Mocks. My pod shop is Opal and June Shop. They have the same name. So what you're going to do in there is look at them and see the way that it cohesively goes together. You'll see a lot of colors pulling from different spaces. And some of that is just because of the kind of colors I like. And some of that is intentional when I've looked at the front and rearranged things. And I zoom in with like the blankets and wall pants. pennants because it just is really cohesive and easy. I love to make shirt mock-ups. I think they're so cute and so fun, but I don't want to try and make a mock-up for a blanket most of the time. There's just not a lot available, and usually they require Photoshop, and because I like to have my stuff separate, I'm just going to use the one from the supplier. It is great, and I have sold plenty of blankets. It's great. It's great. It's great. So remember, it's okay to use different mock-ups for different things. Now, building off of that, real items matter. We're going to have a whole post about this next week. Two bonus episodes. I guess it'll be the second and third. But what we're going to do, talk about that, is identifying AI. I'm going to say that using AI is, of course, every person's choice. I do not use AI because I think that the real items matter. I also have a little bit of feelings about it because I've seen mockups that are based off of models that I have photographed, and I don't love that. I don't like that vibe because that can easily happen. People can use mockups that have been photographed by photographers and try to replicate them. So I don't love using AI for mockups because I think it gets really dicey. I don't know how else to put it. So what I would recommend with that is that you need to know that when you are creating a mock-up, that real item matters. Now, sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes the shirts don't look that different, but with things, and sometimes color definitely varies, but just knowing that you have an item of what the actual, like a photo of what the actual item is, I think is so beneficial to your customers. And unfortunately, when things are computer generated, it's not the actual item. So that's my thoughts on AI. I'm not coming for it, but I have a bigger episode about it. And some items are really generic, but I'm talking about like shirt brands when there's an actual brand. It like a 15-ounce mug basically looks like a 15-ounce mug for the most part. You know what I mean? But shirt brands can vary. And that's one thing that I really think that real items matter. So with that, because we're just building on this episode, is that understanding item colors and mockups. This is a big thing. So sometimes when you look up like black shirt mockup, you're going to see a bunch of variation in the blacks. And the blacks and the whites are the easiest for them to actually look like the actual color. But one thing that I think is hard for people to comprehend if you're not used to working, if you're not a painter, if you're not somebody who works with a lot of color, one thing that is very apparent once you start shooting is that color can really be impacted by anything else in the frame. So for example, if I am shooting an orchid shirt, then orchid comfort colors, I love comfort colors, it is going to look different on a black backdrop than it's going to look on a blue backdrop. The colors are going to work together differently, and that's if it's just hanging up on, you know, a blank wall with just those colors. That doesn't mention props or styling or anything like that, or the time of day is taken in. Color always varies. So a lot of times you'll be like, oh, these colors are a little bit different. But that's why, like, you can't actually, like, you can look up hex codes and the hex codes can be correct. But for me, I don't think it's that simple. It sounds really simple. It sounds simple because you can look at the hex codes. But the truth is like if you have someone in front of a white wall, that hex code is going to look very different than if it's in front of a blue wall. Even if you're controlling that hex code, they just will look different. So a lot of times, like, there's mockups that might look darker, might look lighter. I have been handled so many of the print on demand products at this time. And sometimes I'm still like, oh, this one photographed a lot darker because the light came in different, and I just go with it because I cannot make them look exactly the same. And if I did, that would veer into fake. So it's a good representation. What I try to do with my mockup specifically, and every mockup owner is going to be different, I like to do when I think about it, I have my shirts, I can look at them and make sure I have the right colors, like look it up, pull up to the monitor if I want to. I don't usually have to do that anymore because a lot of the shirts are repetitive at this point. But what I can, and I can look at other photographs I've taken, but when I take a mock-up photograph, I am looking at it in that environment. Because here's the thing, besides the fact that light changes color, light impacts color, things like that change, and you can't always be 100% sure it's going to look exactly the same the day your customer opens it, because they might be standing in a shadow and it's going to look a little bit different color-wise. Like, think of it, like, colors change, right? What's so awesome about that is that because of the color variance like that, when you shoot in different ways, so when I shoot with flash photography, when I shoot in different setups, it gives different like overall appeal of what the shirt is going to look like, what that item is going to look like. So understanding colors and mock-ups is that you are not just looking at the item color, you're looking at the overall setup. So I know I've heard people get like frustrated when they like go and look up like gray shirt mock-up and there's a lot of color variants, but that's just because of the way the photographs are shot. It's just normal. And that's normal with normal shoot, with like normal product shoots as well. Lots of color matching can help, but I think specifically if you're looking in like trying to manipulate the hex codes, it can actually make the shirts look less consistent because the shirt color wouldn't look like that in the environment it's showcased in. And then I had one more thought about that and it just escaped me. What you can't control is like someone's phone setting. So say that they're shopping online on your website and they have dark mode put on their phone, or like they're shopping at midnight and all the lights are off and their phone has like the like yellow tint. That color is going to look different than it will look on your desktop when you're making stuff and the room is brightly lit. That's just how color works. So I understand, like as a print-on-demand seller, I want my shirts to look like the perfect color. As a photographer, I know that there's nuance to that. So don't let yourself get stressed out. That's why I say when you're shopping for mockups, just look at them and find the one that speaks the most to you. If you're unsure of the color, you can compare it to some of the other ones around it and make sure it's something you're comfortable with. But as the buyer, you know, it's your responsibility to make sure that you like that color and you feel like it's a good representation of your brand and your shirt aesthetic. So that's something to really keep in mind. So color is so amazing and it can add so much personality to photographs. And I could talk about this forever and ever and ever. So I'm trying to keep it long-winded or short-winded, not long-winded. Oops. This is a short version of what I'm trying to say about color, is that it can really vary. And that's why I think that environmental lifestyle mockups are so cool and so great for shop owners. Now, that could be on a model, that could be like styled flat lay, but like when there's patterns and textures around, you can get a really good feel of what the item is going to be like. I also love when there's a bunch of texture in shirts, but I'm going to talk about that more in the AI episode. Okay, so that's basically mockups, guys. As always, I don't think I've ever actually said this in the podcast, but if you go to the description, you will find a discount code for my mockup shop, and that is Alyssa Talks Pod, just all caps, for 20% off any mockups. I have all of the mockups. If you have any requests for mockups, you can definitely let me know. I can't photograph everything, but I try to photograph everything. And it's just really fun. I love mockups. Have so much fun with them, guys. Just don't overthink them. So I'm going to go through those a couple of times again. Don't overthink your mockups. Simple sells, but so do trends. Use mockups for a cohesive vibe. I use mockups with the first photograph being a cool attention grabber and the rest being, I think of them as color swatches. Real items matter, and understand that color is nuanced in photography. That's it, guys. There's so much about photography and about mockups I could talk about it for ages, so I'm going to stop it here because I think we've already hit 30 minutes. Hope you'll have an amazing week. And I have a bonus episode coming next week too, where we go more into AI mockups and how to spot them if you do not want to use them. No one can decide everything about AI. I'm not going to be coming for them hard or anything like that. If you think that I'm going to get on, if anyone listens to this and think that as a photographer, I'm going to come and bash a bunch of AI, that's not the goal. But I have gotten some emails concerned about them, about whether, like, how to spot AI. And so I'm going to talk about that in my next podcast. And then y'all will know more about them and what's easy to spot and what's not. Okay. All right, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.